shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. As always, I am thrilled that you are taking your time to step into learning something brand new about money, how to do money in a new way, to really shift into a new paradigm. It's one of the things I love talking about, as you will, if you've listened for a while, you know that it's something that I'm passionate about. And what I really love doing is talking about the soul money relationship and helping you understand that when you step into this relationship, you're able to create money in a very conscious way. And it's completely different than how we typically do money, which is to create money, kind of recreating our own wounds, our own traumas, our past histories with money. And we do it unconsciously, and it's fine. We all do it at one point or another. But when we step into the soul money relationship and we really understand the nuts and bolts of that, that's when we can create this lasting peace, this lasting abundance that we all seem to really want to have, right? There's a whole bunch of feels the peace is really what's important, right? And so when we can start to create consciously, we have that sense of peace, which leads to all kinds of other really amazing things in our day-to-day lives. So if you are watching, as opposed to just listening, you're going to notice that I'm here on my own today, which I haven't done for a while. I haven't done a solo show for a while. And I'm really excited about the conversation that I want to do today. This is 100% planned. And it's actually this is the first half of a two-part conversation. So I want to tell you a little bit more about what we're going to be doing, what this conversation that I want to share with you today. So as I mentioned in the introduction, right, I spend a lot of time talking about the soul money relationship. And lots of people in the money world, specifically the spiritual money world, the energetic money world, talk about a money relationship, right? That we, as we understand that we're in relationship with money, then we can start changing behaviors and things can really change. But the part of the approach that is different for me is adding in soul, adding in divinity, really being able to understand how that's the root, actually, of our relationship with money. And I honestly don't know how you can consciously create money until you've brought in soul and divinity. So what I want to spend the rest of this podcast and the next podcast talking about is this soul money relationship and how it really can impact your bottom line and how adding soul in really makes a difference, right? Because, you know, we've been taught that if we want to make a change in what's in our bank account, that we need to take this really kind of analytical, logical, numbers-based approach. We take a look at our money from this viewpoint of, well, what's coming in, what's going out, how could I spend less, how can I make more, and it's really focused on the numbers. And I'm just going to take a pause here because there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is part of our money relationship to be a good steward with the money that we have. And yet, if you're here listening, you probably have sensed that it is a bit of an incomplete approach, right? It's a piece of the puzzle, but it's not the whole puzzle. And again, if you're listening, you probably have tried adding in some of the universal techniques, some of the adding energy in, maybe even adding a little bit of divinity in, working maybe with a vision board or affirmations or meditations, right? Just sort of, you know, bringing in some of that energetic qualities that we know are part of money. And you probably have had some short-term benefits, but maybe not lasting benefits. Right? The bottom line ends up staying about the same. So then the question becomes, all right, I've got the numbers approach, I've added in the energy. How do I really make a change that doesn't involve me working really long hours or having to make a shift in what I do or having so much pain and suffering along the way that by the time I get the money in my bank account, I don't even care anymore. Okay. Right. So, and the other piece of the equation here is adding you into the mix. This, when I think is particularly important, is that when we are looking at our numbers, when we're looking at our money flow, that it matches what we actually want. There are a lot of people out there telling you need to make six figures, you need to make seven figures, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of noise out there about that. And again, nothing wrong with this idea of making six or seven figures if it's what you want, right? So what I really want for each of you is to be able to create money in a way that brings you happiness and joy, that brings in ease and comes in the amount that you want. And what I have discovered for myself in this area, as well as for all of my clients, is that what it really takes is flipping the paradigm of what we know about money out of this analytical, logical approach into a more soul-based approach. We have to start doing, in quotes, if you can't see me, I've got little bunny ears going here, doing our money through this soul-money relationship. Okay. When we start doing that and we start flipping what we used to know about the numbers and the number game into this new game of money, into this new way of doing money, that's when that ease and joy starts coming in. Now you may be saying to yourself, I've done some of this, right? But I think that whenever we're starting to try to make a change in how we do anything, we do things with little bits and pieces because our ego, that part that keeps us alive, likes things to stay safe. And so the way to stay safe is to do things the same. So we sort of reach out for a new piece here, we reach out for a new piece there, and we try to integrate it into how we are living on a day-to-day basis. And the problem is that that doesn't quite work, right? We sort of, we grab a little bit of this particular model and that particular model, but we're not really following the whole model. So we don't ever really get the full benefit. So again, what I have found is that we really need to flip all the way over into a soul approach to really eat, sleep, breathe, live, put our feet directly in the ground in a soul approach. And that's when things really start moving and shaking. And, you know, it's like learning, it's like learning another language, honestly, right? You know, I'm an English speaking native, right? And let's say I want to learn French. What do? I take a class, I get Rosetta Stone, something like that, and I start trying to speak. And there's a lot of really short sentences, and I'm thumbing through the dictionary all the time, right? For that translation dictionary, trying to find out my words, and maybe I'm speaking kind of slowly, and I can't really communicate. But then the more that I learn, the more that I immerse myself in that language and learning that language, the more I build up the lexicon in my head. I've got all the words I need. My sentences get longer. The paragraphs get longer. And my speed is speeding up, but I'm still not fluent, right? When somebody becomes fluent, they flip into being able to think in French. So they're no longer translating English to French. There's no longer this other model. English doesn't even part of the puzzle anymore. It's French to French. Does that make sense? Right. So that's what we're doing here. That's what I want to do over the course of this podcast and the next podcast, is really giving you the seeds of a soul approach that you can step into. I'm mixing metaphors a little bit here, but give you the seeds that can sprout and grow as you take those on. And then that is what's going to really bring you into being able to create this lasting peace and abundance. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. There are 10 shifts that I'm going to talk about, 5 in this podcast and 5 in the next podcast. All right. So let's get started with the very first one, and I'll get myself organized with my notes here. All right. So the first shift that I want to talk about in terms of shifting from this analytical approach to the soul approach is moving from transactional to relationship-based understanding of money. And if you've listened to anything that I have put out about money, this is something I talk about. So if you've heard this piece before, I'm going to ask you to listen with a beginner's mind. And if you haven't, this is a huge shift. This is a really big shift here. Okay. So most of us, and I think this is true with anything actually in our worlds, but we base our understanding of money on what we can see and observe, right? Again, that's pretty much how we live as humans. And when you watch people interact with money, it feels very transactional in nature. So just to make the math easy, let's say I have a job that's $10 an hour, I've worked 40 hours, and my gross pay becomes $400, right? So I give my time and I receive money, transaction. Or I go to the grocery store, or in these times of pandemic, I'm ordering my groceries online, right? So I pick bananas, I pick cilantro, I pick potatoes, I pick bread, milk, whatever. I've got this whole long list. Store says I want, you know, this amount of money. That's fine. I give them the money. They give me the groceries. Transactional. And that's accurate. Again, this is one part of money is this transactional piece. And yet it's not the whole story, right? It's accurate, but it's not even the whole story here. Not even close. Money is a physical resource of the divine. So what do I mean by that? Let's think about the divine as this great big blob of love. Okay, you can define it however you want, but for the purposes of this conversation, that's what we're going to say, right? It's this great big blob of love and knowledge and brilliance. And it differentiates here on the planet into different physical resources. It differentiates into nature and beauty and art and love of in relationship, love of ourselves. And it also differentiates into money. So that's what I mean by money is a physical resource of the divine. Now, you are intimately connected with the divine because you're a strand of that divine, right? You are one strand of this great big blob of divinity. So there is this intimate connection. You are in relationship with this great big blob of divinity. And therefore, you are also in relationship with all of its physical resources, including money. So the transactional nature of money happens, but it's the very last step of anything that you would do with money. All right? Everything else about money happens before that transaction, and it happens through this soul money relationship that I speak about. Okay. Your actions and your choices that you make through this relationship, and you are making those choices whether you're conscious of it or not. Okay. So all of the choices that you make through this relationship result in whether money is accessible to you or not. So when you flip into this soul paradigm, what you're learning is you're learning how to work within the relationship first before the transaction. When you want different numbers in your bank account, you don't just work on the numbers first, you work on the relationship. Okay. Just like if I'm in relationship with my husband and I want him to take out the garbage, we don't talk about the garbage. We talk about supporting each other, right? Same with money. Okay. So that very first shift to make is from transactional into acknowledging this relationship. All right. Okay. So the second shift is moving from believing that your flow of money determines your frequency into knowing that your frequency determines your flow. So what do I mean by that? Let me ask you a couple questions. How many times have you been kind of bopping along in your day, you're feeling really good, and then you look at your bank account and you look at the bottom line and you're like, uh-oh, right? Heart falls, chest contracts, that kind of thing. Or how many times has looking at your physical balance in your accounts left you feeling stressed and worried and anxious? And it's actually regardless of the numbers, right? But where they are in relationship to where you think they should be, right? That's creating the stress and the worry. Or how many times have you used stress and anxiety and worry to propel you into doing something new to create money? For example, if you're somebody that owns your own business, so you need more money in your business bank account, you're like, oh, I'll just create something, I'll create a new program and I toss it out there. Or if you are working for somebody else, perhaps you talk to your boss and say, hey, I need more money, right? And you make this pitch for more money and you end up with more responsibility somehow, but no more money, right? And the course that you put out there doesn't really gain any traction and you don't make any money, right? Before learning about the soul money relationship, I could have raised my hand for all of these, all right? And when I get out of alignment, I notice this is one of the places where I actually notice things pretty quickly, okay? We've been conditioned to believe under this analytical approach that the state of our bank account determines how we should feel. And if there's a number that's bad or wrong or not expected or not projected to be what's needed, like maybe in the case of retirement, right? Maybe you're taking a look at your retirement funds and the stock market's doing something funky and it looks like you don't have as much as you thought was there or what you think you're going to need, right? We're told, well, you can't be comfortable. You can't feel good. You've got to be worried. You've got to be, right? There's this underlying tension, I think, right? Well, I think it matches up pretty easily too with this. We've been conditioned to say no pain, no gain, right? So we a lot of us tend to, if we want something new, amplify stress and worry so that we can push ourselves, propel ourselves into creating what we think we need to create to have the money, or propelling ourselves into action, right? But I would challenge you on this. How often does that actually work for you? Or do you end up spending a lot of your time just feeling really stressed and worried? Right? And so just take a moment and think back to when you let stress or worry push you into doing something. How did it turn out? And even if it did yield money, did it make you happy? Was there peace at the end of it, or was there this need to reach for something more? Okay. When you are planted with your mind in the analytical approach, feelings and how we're feeling really has no role except to propel us forward, right? that they don't, how we feel about the numbers doesn't really matter. It's there's a rule and there's how much we should have. But when you flip into the soul approach, what you discover is that how we feel and the frequency that it creates is directly responsible for the flow of what we receive, right? So our frequency is determining what we receive. What we understand also in the soul approach is that when our frequency matches the frequency of money, and the frequency of money is joy and love, right? When we are, when our frequency matches joy and love, that is when money comes. That's when money comes with joy. That's when money comes with ease. When we're in that place of stress and worry and anxiety, our ability to receive slows way down. We have to push in, we have to bring in a ton of action in order to overcome that stress and that worry. Okay. Moving into a state of belief and expectation and knowing and peace and love and joy. That's what is going to create that effortless flow of receiving. And then to take a moment to tie these first two together, receiving is not even really a word in the analytical transactional model. Okay. We are making money in the transaction, in that transactional, logical, analytical model. In the soul model, you understand that it's about receiving. Very different energy, very different approaches. And I'm going to talk more about that in another shift. Okay, so in just a moment, we'll talk more about that. But the bottom line for this one is that frequency is determining your flow and not the other way around. Okay, and when we create through our soul money relationship, when we understand the nature of that relationship, we're better able to set our frequency. And we're able to receive in a much greater amount and with greater ease and joy. Okay. All right. So we've talked about moving from transaction to relational. We've talked about frequency determining flow. And the third shift that I want to talk about, and this is the last one we'll talk about before we go to break in a moment. But this third shift is all about moving from understanding that money is, in the analytical view, money is a very limited resource. And the soul approach, knowing that it is an unlimited resource. And the place to start the conversation here is actually talking about power. All right. We can't talk about money without talking about power. When money first became available for us as humans to play with, it really was about playing together. It was really about being able to trade my services for somebody else's services. All right, let's say I'm a hat maker, but I need somebody to fix my roof. And the person who's going to fix the roof has as many hats as they need. So, but the person who, they have as many hats as they need, but let's say they have chickens to feed. And the person who sells chicken feed needs a hat. Right? So money allows us to make that trade and play together with our gifts in a really easy way instead of working out a very complicated trade system, right? And that's what money was meant for. Somewhere along the way, money has been co-opted as a tool for power, and it creates power for those who have it. Okay? How do you keep power? You keep power by telling people that the resources they need are limited and they're going to have to revere the people who have those limited resources, and they're going to have to work through those power holders in order to have the resources that they want, right? So when this pattern got set up, when money became more of a power, a tool for power rather than just a tool for trade and play and joy, It also set up sort of a bunch of things happened right after that, right? And because of it, so because of this limited nature, it set up this idea of competition. So I better get my money before my neighbor gets all that money. Okay. Or it created patterns of limitation and comparison. That person has more, so they've got to be better than me. And I better get more so that I can be the better person. And these patterns of competition and scarcity are really, they're woven throughout our group consciousness. And they are very evident in an analytical approach, right? Got to get your numbers to add up before you get to a bad age, right? You need a certain amount of money in order to get somewhere. Okay. And it is important, again, money loves structure and we need to know our numbers. But what we get to do when we switch into this tangible, this more soul-based approach is to remember that power and money weren't connected. We get to remember that it's this tangible physical resource of divinity and that the divine is unlimited and therefore money is unlimited. Every single person on this planet can have access to unlimited money. All of us. There is no limit, right? And so we all have equal amounts of power with money. We all have access to the unlimited resources. Okay. And this is one of those places where there's a perfect example of how being in the soul approach impacts your bottom line. When you are trying to use energetic techniques from outside the soul approach, and you're still doing it from a place of that money is very limited and you need to, and there's worry and needing and yearning and bumpity bumpity bump, all of that, you cannot create money. You're creating more absence of money. You're creating less money. You can't create peace. But when you are creating from a place that you know that there's an unlimited resource, that you're not in competition with anyone, you are using all of the rules of the universe to your advantage, and you're able to tap into that unlimited supply and bring it towards you. So when you flip the paradigm from analytical to soul, you're flipping from this competitive, money is limited place into a knowing that money is unlimited and that everyone has access, creates a sense of relief and helps you get more to that space of joy, which allows receiving. Okay. All right. Lots of information here. And we are going to need to take a quick break. So just as a reminder, you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, Jennifer Bloom. And when we come back, there are two more shifts that I want to share with you. And I also want to remind you that if you are interested in learning more about your personal soul money relationship, to come to jenniferbloom.com. And that will allow you to take a soul money quiz, which is going to show you which aspect of your relationship could use a little bit of tweaking. And you'll get an exercise for how to do that. All right. So stay tuned and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Get empowered. Transformation. Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
On a tough day, our first impulse is to check out. But here's a better idea. Check in. Check in with yourself in two specific ways. First, check in with your body. Are your hands balled into fists? Is your jaw clenched? Notice any place you feel tension in your body and consciously relax. Then check in with your mind. Are you fully present to the people and activities in your immediate environment? Or is your mind a million miles away, worrying about the future, brooding about the past? If that's the case, gently bring your awareness back to the present moment. When we check in with ourselves, we can create more peace in ourselves and in our world. If you'd like to learn more about incorporating mindfulness practices into your daily life, contact me, Mary Angela McGuire, at mcguirelifecoach.com. And check out my show, Nothing But Now, Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on Transformation Talk Radio.
Your inspiration all day on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom. And I have been talking about making a paradigm shift to shift into taking a soul approach to your money instead of this analytical, logical approach that we've all been taught how to do. And ultimately, when you make the switch, you really begin to understand why understanding your soul money relationship, understanding your personal and specific connection with money is so important, and how using that relationship allows you to really consciously create the kind of money that you want. All right. So we spent the first part of this podcast talking about three shifts, and I want to now share with you the next two shifts. And then in the following podcast, we'll do another 5. All right. Okay. So let's talk about the fourth shift that you can make from this analytical model into the soul model. And this one is all about shifting from a sense of control to a sense of allowing. And let me tell you what I mean by that. When we're following an analytical approach for money, and there isn't enough money in the bank account, or you're not quite sure how to bring more in, what do you do? Well, the first step tends to be to reach for a budget, right? Whether you're using the envelope method, or whether you have a spreadsheet, or whether you're doing it on your phone, all of that, right? We work really hard to figure out how we can shift around all of the different, shift money into all of these different pieces so that ultimately we have more in our bottom line. But the way that we do that is it tends to have a focus of control. So if I can just control myself and control what I spend, no more lattes, bring a bag lunch, just stop the takeout, no more DoorDash, right? I'm going to control myself so that my spending goes down. And I'm going to control the amount of work that I do so that I bring more in. And I'm going to control myself so that I only spend X out of the non-necessities budget so that I can have more money. And, you know, I don't, again, this is probably the third time I think I've mentioned it in this particular podcast. I don't have a beef at all with a budget. We really want to be good stewards of our money. We really want to create that structure so that money has a place to fill in, right? When we have our buckets out, meaning, you know, we know we want a new car, a new house, we want to be able to serve a population in a certain way, and we create the containers for that. and we ask for it, money wants to fill in there. So it behooves us to have a really good structure and a really good system. But when you operate, when you work to create this budget and the containers from a place of control, you are not doing yourself any favors. When you do it from that place of wanting and yearning, you're actually going to do it, you're actually going to create less in your bank account, because that's what you're amplifying, right? The universe only hears yes, it doesn't hear no. So when there's that underlying feeling of I have to control it because I don't have enough, what the universe hears is not enough. Not enough, not enough, not enough. And then you're not going to have enough for what it is that you want to create. So how does adding soul change this dynamic? When you approach the amount of money in your bank account through the eyes of soul, rather than through that just sort of logical approach, you remember that the key to having more is to open to receive more, right? We talked about that in one of the earlier shifts. The new part of this shift is remembering that the key to receiving is being the frequency of allowing. When you want more, the very first step isn't to step into a budget. It isn't to control. It is a frequency step. And that might feel a little bit uncomfortable at the beginning, because we've been taught a lot that in order to create something, we need to do something. That just sort of seems to make sense. But the doing that we need to take is a frequency shift, not a physical action. So you want to shift into this place of openness and allowing. And I could say more about this, but let's experience it firsthand. Okay, so I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and take a couple of deep breaths. And I want you to imagine that you can just sort of have the word control repeat over and over and over again in your mind. So control, 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 control. I have to control. I have to control. I have to control. And just notice how your body feels. And then let's do the opposite. And let's let the word allow run through your mind. Allow, 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 receive, allow, receive. I'm allowing, I'm allowing. And notice how your body feels. Okay, and you can go ahead and open your eyes back up. What I hope you noticed in that exercise is that when we get into this place of controlling, it's really tight. Your body probably is going to feel really tight, and it's going to feel closed. When you're in a space of allowing, when you're in that space of receiving, what you're going to notice is that your whole body wants to open. It's like your whole chest, heart center wants to open wide. When you are inside your soul money relationship, when you're planted in this knowing of a soul approach, you shift into this incredibly open-hearted, trusting state of allowing. You also remember that you're in relationship. So when you open and allow, when you're in relationship, you're allowing yourself to receive from divinity. You allow yourself to be supported. Okay. And it can, again, it can feel a little bit uneasy because we have been taught to do. And there will be action, right? But when you're in this place of openness and allowing, you are open to inspiration from divinity, which is then going to help you understand maybe where your money leaks are, right? In any budget, you're going to know, oh, looks like I'm spending more than I intended over here. And so what can I do to shift that? That feels a lot different than saying, how can I control my spending so that I don't go over the limit? What can I cut back on? What can I hold back on, right? So there's no need to be in that space of control. It's all about allowing, and it's about allowing your flow. And that's what this fourth shift is all about, moving from this view of a budget as controlling to this view of allowing first and then working with your numbers. Okay. All right. So let's chat about the fifth shift, which is the last shift that I want to talk about today. So this shift is all about shifting from inside this analytical, logical mindset of earning your money to the soul approach, which is remembering that it is your birthright. Okay. Now, to start this, I want to actually go back to the fourth, to this tip I just shared, or the shift I just shared, which was all about moving from controlling to allowing. A lot of times when I bring people into that space of opening and allowing and just saying you get to receive, there's a lot of resistance that comes up. It's not conscious resistance, but it is all of these old patterns that come up. Because people will say things like, allow? How do I just allow? Don't I need to earn my money? How will anybody ever appreciate what they have if they haven't earned it, if they haven't worked hard for it? How can I deserve something that I haven't worked hard for? Or it might turn into a they situation. Well, okay, maybe I can have it. I know I'm a good person, but do they, that outside they, that elusive they, do they deserve it? They haven't earned it. All right. There's so many different variations on the theme of earning when you're in the middle of that analytical approach. All right. Because it's just part of it. It's part of the limited resources. It's part of the competition. It's part of telling people you need to work really hard. You need to earn it. No pain, no gain. Right. It's all part of that model. And there's lots of limitations when we take that kind of approach. And again, it's hard to ask for lasting peace and abundance when you feel like you have to earn something, because you start thinking about the kind of money that you want to have. And then you're thinking, you're doing the math in your head about the number of hours it's going to take. And it's just not possible. Okay. But I think, you know, this, the earning part goes even deeper. And I mentioned it in some of the phrases that I said at the beginning here, right? Underscoring the earning is about doing the right steps, the right actions, so that you deserve it. So many of us have underlying patterns of and belief structures that are all centered around not being good enough. So we set up these patterns so that we make sure that we earn the good that's coming into our life so that we can have something to stand on to say, okay, well, maybe I'm not good enough, but you know, I worked my butt off so I can have this money. It's our justification for having something that maybe doesn't match that internal belief structure that says, you're not enough. And so when we start to step into the soul approach and say, oh, it's unlimited resource. You can have whatever it is that you want. You don't, you know, you're opening, you're receiving, you're allowing. Our egos start to get a little wonky. They're like, oh, danger, danger, Will Robinson. It's something that doesn't work. So it's hard, again, until you make this switch into the soul approach, it's really hard to create a new amount of money, because we tend to put ceilings and limits around what we think we can have based on the action steps that we've taken and the way that we can earn something. Okay. But when you step into the soul approach, when you allow yourself to be fully immersed in soul, what you're reminded of is that abundance is literally your birthright. And I've had a little bit of pushback around that word birthright. So let me tell you what I mean by that. Your divinity. Right? I keep mentioning that you are a strand of the divine. You have access to the resources of the divine because you're a soul. There's nothing to earn or deserve. You simply have access to it because you're a soul on this planet. There's no limit to what you can allow and receive. You do not need, there's no need to prove anything. We step in to our actions so often, even when we're trying to do affirmations and we're trying to do visualizations and vision boards. Again, it's one more action step to prove that we're worthy to receive what we want. Here, I've taken this action. Here, I've done the prerequisite number of hours of meditation, so now I can have what I want. But that's just not how things are set up. You're not doing affirmations and vision boards and meditation time in order to earn the money. You're doing it to put yourself into the receptive state to be able to receive it. This, I think, is one of the biggest bugaboos, to use a really technical term, to why we can't change our bank accounts. Because we just simply don't allow ourselves to wrap our minds around this, knowing that we're already worthy and deserving. Those words just, they almost don't even make sense when you really immerse yourself in this soul approach, when you immerse yourself in what the soul knows to be true about money. You would never ask divinity if it felt worthy today. You'd never ask divinity if it felt like it was enough, right? It just is. And because you are of divinity, you are too. Regardless of the past, regardless of whatever stories you tell yourself, regardless of any, quote, mistakes that were made about money in the past or mistakes that were made in other areas of your life. Okay. This particular switch allows you to get into this place of vibrating, creating your frequency in the space of no limits. We so often get into goal mode. And really what we're in the middle of is no limits. Now, does this mean that you can just sort of sit on your couch and eat bonbons and expect money to fall from the sky because you are such a worthy and deserving part of divinity? Maybe, if you did enough belief shifting, if you did enough, I did enough, there's that measurement again, they would take a lot of belief shifting. It is possible. I am not to that point yet. I will let you know when I do get to that point. Okay. But that actually isn't even really what life on this planet is about. That's a whole other conversation to have. But again, as in the shift previous that I mentioned, what this really means is that as you shift into that place of no limits, now you are opening to your specific connection with divinity. And when you open to that connection, now you're able to hear what the divine is sharing with you, right? The divine has the ability to see connections that you would never be able to see for yourself. And to put together connections that you in a million years would never have been able to do. And so you are then going to spend your time in this place of taking inspired actions instead of actions that are coming out of a place of worry or fear or longing or yearning or controlling, right? The pattern that we talked about before. That action that comes from a place of inspiration is so much more effective, right? It's just, it's something that is going to equal so many more hours of that nose to the grindstone, work really hard. You can be so much more effective with one simple 5-minute action when it's divinely inspired, okay? And so this is all of these shifts are important. Again, use budding ears, quotes around important. But I think this is one of the really big ones, is being able to shift out of the needing to earn, needing to do something, needing to prove that you are worthy and deserving, okay? When you can shift into this place of being able to know that worthy and deserving aren't even words to use anymore, just knowing that you as a soul are open to receive and open to allow. Okay. All right. So again, this was a lot of information. So let me recap. We've gone through 5 different shifts. And as a reminder, these are shifts that you're making so that you can firmly plant yourself into the soul money paradigm. We are acknowledging that an analytical numbers-based approach is a piece of how we are going to handle money, but we want to do that from inside the soul approach. And I'm hoping that as we've talked through these 5 different shifts, that you can start to really feel in your body what it's like to immerse yourself into this particular approach and what it could mean to your bottom line. So the 5 shifts that I talked about today are moving from only a transactional approach to money to understanding that money comes out of your soul money relationship. So moving from knowing that money is not just transactional, but it's relational. Knowing that you want to move from believing that your flow determines frequency to your frequency determining your flow. Moving from believing that money is a limited resource to knowing that it's an unlimited resource. Moving from this need to control your money, like really get your hands on it and hold it tight, to shifting into a place of allowing. And then finally, shifting out of this knowing that, or thought that you knew, that you had to earn something, into knowing that money is part of you because you're of divinity. It's just part of who you are, right? So as you start to get a sense of why it's important to move into this soul approach, It's just a reminder, right? That this is inside the soul approach is where there's lasting peace and abundance. We all have patterns and beliefs that are going to make some of these shifts easier than others, and that's okay, all right? Start in the place that's easiest for you. I have a couple of resources if you need some assistance. And the first is, as a reminder, I've got a free soul money relationship quiz. It's on my homepage, jenniferbloom.com. When you take that quiz, you're going to learn what part of your relationship could use the most tweaking. And you're going to get a video exercise to do that's going to help you do that. And if you are in a position of feeling like you are ready to start making some of these shifts, but you're not sure how to do that and you'd like some help, I'm going to invite you to take a look at the Soul Money Possibility session that I offer. This is an hour-long session. I'll identify one of your money languages. We look at one of your limiting beliefs and we start doing some healing work around that. So you're going to walk away knowing several steps that you can do right now to change your relationship. And then we also spend time taking a look at the programs and services that I offer, and then what would be helpful for you. So it is a paid session. It is a $97 session. But if you choose then to move into one of my programs or services, we apply that $97 to the cost of the program. Okay. So those are two resources that you can start to use in order to start making some of these shifts, or to get help making those shifts. All right. Very good. So I am looking forward to the next podcast, which will happen in 2 weeks. Soul Wisdom Abundance is here on the first and third Fridays of each month. So in the next podcast, you're going to hear 5 more shifts that you get to make to bring you into alignment with the soul approach so that you can have that lasting peace and abundance. I can't wait for that conversation. All right. So thank you all for being a part of the energy of the show. I'm just delighted that you're here, and I look forward to talking with you again. And until that time, I offer you prosperous blessings. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit jenniferbloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.